Lifestyle with Stacey Pinkerton.
My guest, Sarah Davenport, has just released Reboot Your Health, and most people never listen to their bodies. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, Stacey. Really nice to be with you.
Let's talk about your background a little bit and then get on to how we can reboot our health.
Yep, no problem. About me, originally I was nothing to do with health whatsoever. So I had an art gallery. I specialized in 19th century dog paintings. And in fact, I was the only person in the world that did because it was a very niche market. And anyway, after, I don't know, 10, 12 years of doing that, something really weird happened for me. A friend was originally diagnosed with breast cancer. And it sounds really weird now. But at the time, and I was probably about, I don't know, 32 or something, I'd actually never met anybody at all who had cancer. And so this friend was diagnosed, and she had a really, really unfortunate experience. And I originally thought that she was just a very unlucky person. You know, she never saw the same doctor twice. They did the same, you know, surgeries on her repeatedly because they'd lost her notes. I mean, all sorts of really terrible things happened to her. And there was no support at all. You know, no psychological support, no practical support. And then the universe did that thing that the universe does, and it started, wherever I went, I met somebody who had been recently diagnosed with breast cancer and, you know, had every single one of them seemed to have a terrible story to tell me. And I mean, this was 30 years ago, so things were different from how they are today. But I was sitting there going, how can this be, you know, and how can they be expecting people to travel miles? You know, there were services out there, but they were all very scattered. And when you're undergoing chemo and radio, you're really not in a state to have the energy to trek out and, you know, meet new people and do new things. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting there going, so wouldn't it be much easier just to have all the services available under one roof for everybody? You know, so it's really accessible and not stressful. And so I got a real bee in my bonnet about it. And I went to talk to doctors, I talked to nurses, I talked to masses and masses of people who'd had breast cancer. I talked to charities. And it really rapidly became clear. Every single one of the you know, professionals said, I'm sorry, you don't know what you're talking about. It's absolutely fine as it is now. And all the people who had you know, being diagnosed were going, oh, please, please, this would be so incredible. It would have made such a difference. So originally I thought, you know, I can continue being an art dealer because it was such a really fun, lovely life.
You thought there was something more important.
Yeah, well, I just thought somebody else could do it, not me. Because, you know, so it sort of boiled down to it was either never going to happen or I needed to drop everything I was doing and do it myself and throw myself completely into it. And it took me, you know, it took me a while to come to that decision. But then in the end, I thought, you know, I'll just be a coward. And I'd already done my lovely art gallery and, you know, had all my lovely clients and my lovely paintings. I've done that for 10, 12 years. And so I thought, okay, this is what I'll do. And so all of those doctors and everybody, they said, I'm sorry, you're not qualified. You may not, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. So I said, you know, actually, I think it's quite good when somebody doesn't come from that same mindset because maybe they do things slightly differently. And anyway, The Haven, I set up this breast cancer charity called Breast Cancer Haven. And it's now one of the UK's leading breast cancer charities, and there are six centres across the UK, and we've helped literally tens of thousands of people through their treatment, and you know, the majority of them say that it was life saving. It really made all the difference. So sometimes it's very, you know, good. You don't take a different path and end up in a different place.
And so this leads you now to deciding to take this information that you had and put it all together in one book called Reboot Your Health.
Yes, and the reason I wrote it, so it's been in the back of my head for a very long time, because having talked to hundreds of people at the charity, One of the things that I noticed and that really distressed me the most probably was their regret and actually their huge grief that they hadn't listened to their bodies, because they'd all noticed that things weren't right, but they hadn't done anything about it. And, you know, further down the line, they've ended up in hospital being treated, and you know, breast cancer is a very life-changing thing to happen to you.
Yes.
And I just remember that regret. And then something really strange happened. Is I was at a literary festival about a year and a half ago, and there was this incredible professor standing, you know, lecturing everybody. And he was a professor of history from Oxford, and he knew everything. I can't tell you. He knew everything about everything in the whole world, it seemed. And he was very charismatic, really great communicator. But at the end of his talk, he stood on the stage and he said, "Well, I can tell you about absolutely everything, but if you asked me where my kidneys were, I wouldn't have a clue. And if you asked me what they did, well, I wouldn't know that either." And it was like a light bulb went off, and I thought, you know, this cleverest man in the world, he doesn't know any of the fundamental basics about health. And if he doesn't know, probably the rest of us have a very limited idea too. And so the very next day, I actually sat down and I started writing this book, because what it is it's a very simply written, basic DIY manual of for health. And it explains, because if you notice very early on that something's going slightly askew, it's really easy to get it, you know, to get it right. And then you don't need to end up on your doctor's doorstep. And so it's basically a route map of what to do to get healthy and stay healthy.
But Sarah, what are some of these clues or things that you've noticed that people could have logged on to the symptoms and thought that, you know, that was an indicator?
Well, for instance, the book's basically in two parts, and the first part, it explains very simply what every organ and body system does, and how to notice what's going on. So for instance, something like 50% of us have thyroid problems, and a lot of people, you know, don't really even know that thyroid exists. But what it does is it makes you really tired. You might be cold all the time. It stops your brain from functioning properly. And even if you do know that that the thyroid could be a problem, when you go to your doctor, they tend to offer you blood tests, and it doesn't always show up that you have a problem. So for instance, under the thyroid section, which explains all of this, there's a really simple chart there. And because one of the most reliable ways of finding out whether your thyroid's working properly or not is to take your temperature. So you put a thermometer under your armpit first thing in the morning. And you do that for a few days in a row. And you chart on this chart what your temperature is. And I've drawn two big, thick black lines across it. And if your temperature is within those two lines, then your thyroid's absolutely fine. And that's not the cause of your tiredness. But if it's above or below, then you have a thyroid problem. It's struggling, or it's got, you know, too much. And the point about it, all of this book is all working hand in hand with the doctors. It's 100% supporting everything that they do. But your doctor can literally give you a prescription that within 2 weeks will get you feeling completely fine again. So it's more about knowing where you're out of balance. And then the book sort of, and there's all sorts of tests. So it does tests for sleep, you know, for your the pH of your body, your bowel habits, your blood pressure, your heart rate. There's a whole load of tests, and they're all really they're either free or they're very inexpensive, and you can do them at home.
You said a test for sleep.
Well, you know, a sleep diary, and it tells you how to work out, you know, where you're weak in your sleeping. You know, are you finding it difficult to go to sleep? Are you waking up 10 times in the night? And then there's all sorts of suggestions of what you can do to rebalance yourself. And so, for instance, one of my favorite things there is tryptophan, which many people haven't heard about. But if you find it, if you're sleeping very shallowly, tryptophan is just amazing. It puts you into really deep sleep. But the key to it, what makes it work far better, is if you drink it with half a glass of orange juice, you know, 20 minutes before you go to sleep. And somehow that combination really, really helps you sleep. So it's full of kind of top tips like that, basically. And everything in the book, I've either, you know, found out myself, or I've been told about by people, or the doctors have told me. You know, it's come from everywhere. I've just been collecting it for years and years.
But Sarah, back to the thyroid, wouldn't you just suggest that someone do also get their TSH and their T3, T4 checked for their thyroid?
Absolutely, 100%. But yeah, all I'm saying is that the thing about the thyroid hormones is that they may be present, but they're not utilized by your body. So what happens when you go to the doctor? Very often people go to the doctors and they say, I think I might have a thyroid problem. And the doctor, you know, very happily does all the tests for you. And then he'll say to you, no, it's all showing normal, but you're still freezing cold and you're still really tired. And that's because your body isn't taking those thyroids from your blood and utilizing them. And so that's why the temperature test is an even better indicator. So you can go to your doctor and say, listen, this is the temperature chart, and he'll go, oh my goodness, yes, you definitely need the thyroxine. Whereas if you've just had the straight temperature test, it shows up for some people, but for some people equally it doesn't. So, you know, you might just go, oh, my thyroid's fine, whereas in fact it isn't.
Yeah, okay. And apart from that, let's talk about vitamin deficiency. Vitamin D in particular. What do you express in your book about vitamin D? Because there are more than 80% of the population worldwide are vitamin D deficient.
Yeah, they are. And I would say that that's one of the most important tests that you can have done. And again, your doctor can do that for you very easily. But what I've also noticed is, again, from talking to lots and lots of people, because even if you think that you're supplementing with vitamin D every day, it's not necessarily a vitamin D that is utilized easily by your body. So it is really important to regularly have your vitamin D tests, because sometimes you'll sit there and think, oh, I'm taking it, you know, I'm taking my pill, I'm taking my liposomal vitamin D, so I'm absolutely fine. And actually, when you have the test, you find you're still low. So it's important to find the supplement that works for your body, because sometimes it doesn't.
And another thing to add about with the vitamin D is to make sure that you take it with fats or with your meal.
With fat, yes. Yeah. It's much more, it's taken up much better with fat, with a meal.
It only is absorbed by fats. I get so frustrated when I see people marketing vitamin D enriched, and it's on a skim milk, in a skim milk or something that's low fat, no fat, and then it's not absorbed, so it's just a big waste.
A waste of time, yeah, exactly. I don't think very many people know that either. So,
also, bowel habits. What do you talk about that in your book?
I talk about that a lot. There's a whole section which is all discussing, because what's really interesting about that, which I found one day, is everyone thinks that how many times they go to the toilet every day is standard, but actually it isn't. And
so what's normal to you?
Well, what's perfect is it's literally kind of food in and food out. So really you should move your bowel 3 times a day if you're eating 3 main meals. Most people obviously don't. And I think what's average is one bowel movement a day. But some people, as I found out when I started asking these questions, they may not move their bowels even once in 2 weeks, and some people can go a month. So I talk a lot about what the color of your stool means and about how to get your bowels moving again. So enemas and colonics. Clismatic as well, if you have trouble getting your bowels going, because it's very important, because otherwise all the sort of toxins that your bowels are meant to be evacuating actually backs up and goes back into your bloodstream. So, you know, clear bowels is something you really, really need to focus on.
A gastroenterologist had informed me that the very, very best way to get your bowels going regularly is to eat 2 kiwis a day.
2 kiwis a day. I haven't heard that. That's very fascinating. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe we should write.
I will experiment and see, because that would be so simple.
Believe me, it works.
All right.
Okay, what else is mentioned in that could be something that's normally not talked about that you find quite important or you found shocking in your research?
Well, something I found very important in my research, which I don't think many people are aware of. Most of us, if you're not particularly healthy, I think a lot of people tend to say, oh, it's my genes, or, oh, you know, my mother had the same thing, my great-grandfather had, you know, it runs in the family. But actually, the genetic and ancestral effect is actually only about 25%. 75% of your health is down to your lifestyle and your diet. So it's really, really in your hands. You can make that difference. And I think what the book stresses is that it doesn't need to be a major upheaval. You know, even a step or two in a different direction will lead you in an entirely different direction. The book is really there to hold your hand and help you take those steps, because you have to become your own health detective, I think, because the person who knows your body best is you. And so you know, you can sense really early on if you're going out of kilter. And one of the other things that concerns me a lot is we're all so busy nowadays. We're all running and rushing from one place to another, you know, from work, looking after your children, looking after your parents. And we got so busy that I don't think we hear ourselves anymore. So we're out of sync with our bodies. And it's very important to sit still sometimes and tune into yourself and notice.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. We have stressful lives, but we normally bring it on ourselves.
We do. but it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it is really hard. The world seems to have speeded up, and with all the Wi-Fi and the everyone can get you all the time, it's very hard to find your space.
That's also why they think that if you drink coffee, you do live longer. It's not really necessarily because of the coffee. They think it's because you just actually take a break and sit down and have a moment. So, Anyhow, it's very interesting information. Reboot Your Health, Sarah Davenport. And how can people find out more information or get in contact with you, Sarah?
Well, I write a weekly blog which goes into most of health topics in greater detail, and that's called reboothealth.co.uk. And actually, if you log on to that this week, there's a free sleep ebook, which is a 60-page ebook that's got all sorts of information that will help you sleep, because the majority of us really don't sleep very well. And you can buy the book, which would be really, really nice.
Reboot Your Health, and it's by Sarah Davenport. Sarah, thank you very much for joining me on the program, and it's fascinating topics.
Thank you very much, Stacey.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
TRE.